There is a Japanese proverb that goes like this. Trees die from the top. Trees die from the top. If you have ever tended a garden, you will note that in the summer, the Bermuda grass turns brown. But a few showers or an April shower or you make dilig, you know, quickly it becomes green again. Because plant life does not die from the roots. The roots are the last to go. It's a botanical law. Trees die from the top. What on earth does that have to do with our seminar? Well, everything. Organizations die from the top. Human organizations, like trees, they die from the top. Teams die from the top. Churches die from the top. Families die from the top. In other words, everything rises and falls on the basis of leadership. The survival of a human organization depends on the effectiveness of its leader. I have, in my business, I have met many people who complain about their people. And I tell them, you know what? Trees die from the top. When they complain to me about their people, I tell them, go to the conference room, look into the mirror, behold the likely source of the problem. And behold also the likely source of the solution. Because everything rises and falls on the basis of leadership. That is why Victory wants you to go through this seminar, because you are leaders, and leadership is very important. Henry Blackaby said, society longs for statesmen, but mostly society gets politicians. Okay? In the workplace, it's the same. You and I, we want to work for inspirational leaders, but mostly we get bosses. Okay? There's a difference between being a boss and being a leader. There is a continuum. On one end of that continuum is the tyrant, the leader who cares about results but does not care about people. On the other end of that continuum is the popularity seeker, the leader who cares a lot about people but does not care a lot about results. Okay? Jim Collins, another favorite author of mine, he wrote the book Good to Great and Built to Last. He said, many managers labor under the false premise that people management or leadership is an either-or proposition. I'm either a tyrant or a popularity seeker. In other words, I'm either focused on results or I am focused on relationships. I can't have both. I'm either people-oriented or productivity-oriented. I can't have both. Jim Collins says, nonsense. It is not an either-or proposition. He said, we must subvert the tyranny of the or, O-R, and embrace the genius of the end, A-N-D. Okay? Do not labor under the tyranny of the or, because you can be production-oriented and still be people-oriented. You can be results-driven and still be relationship-driven. As a matter of fact, the main theme of this seminar is that the best way to achieve long-term, enduring, and repeatable results is by building strong relationships, okay? By building strong relationships. All right. the good news is that people management, outstanding people management, people leadership can be learned, okay? It can be learned. It is also the greatest potential and the least fulfilled potential in human organizations today. It is the potential for excellent people management. Okay, that is the greatest potential in human organizations today. I will give you a very short survey. I'll give you two questions. You have 5 seconds to answer the questions. The questions are very simple. You don't have to write the question. I will only give you a warning. If you are seated beside your boss, don't show that person your answer. If you're seated beside someone who might tell your boss, do not show that person your answer. Question number one. In a scale of 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, rate the ministry group in which you work. Rate the ministry group. It's not the whole church, okay? It's just the department or the immediate ministry group in which you work, okay? One, it's the lousiest ministry group in the church. I can't wait to get out of this ministry. 10, it's the best ministry group or department in the church. I will grow old here. I will retire from this ministry, okay? 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay? Just one number, scale of 10. Second question, 5 seconds to answer, scale of 10. Rate the leader of the ministry group. 1, when will he or she transfer to another ministry? 10, senior pastor material, okay? Or even a bishop material, okay? 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Without showing me those numbers or showing anyone those numbers, I want you to look at them or think about them, because for security reasons, some of you did not even write them, okay? Think about them and tell me, what do they look like? Do they look the same? 1 point difference, 2 point difference? 1 point. Yes. 1 point difference. 1. Equal. 1 point. You forgot. How many points difference, or are they the same? 1. 1. 2. 1. 1. Same. 0.5. Engineer ito pala kayo. Okay. Sir. One. One. Same. One. Secret. No, I don't need the numbers. I just need the are they the same? 5 point difference. 5, hindi 0.5, ah? Okay. 2. 2. Same. 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 Tapos na ako sa inyo, no? All right. It's amazing. This is a random test, okay? But by and large, it is same or 1 point difference. Let's deal with 1 point difference first. 1 point, let's call it a statistical tie, because it's a judgment call, okay? So if you take the same and 1 point difference together, the prevalent answer is the same, okay? Because if you rated the ministry high, you will rate the leader high. If you rated the ministry low, you will tend to rate the ministry, the leader low. If the ministry is kind of middling, the leader of the ministry will also be kind of middling. Okay? Now, because of the principle, as the leader goes, so goes the organization. Now, let's deal with the 2 and up point differences. In a seminar, in a public seminar, a woman raised her hand and she said, Alex, our team is an 8, if I may say so myself, sabi niya. Our leader is a 4. I have a 4 point difference. Okay? But sabi niya, I agree with you. Sabi ko, please explain for the sake of the class. She said, our leader is newly appointed to us. Okay, he is new as our boss, and he's a 4. We are an 8. However, I believe, sabi niya, if he does not change, we will all become 4s because of the impact of the leader on the organization. As the leader goes, so goes the organization. Okay? So are you glad that you didn't show this to your boss at the rating? Okay? Some of you anyway. All right, good. Okay. The workshop is designed to help you realize your tremendous potential as a 5-star leader. You all have the tremendous potential to become 5-star leaders or people managers, unless you are a 5-star one already, like, is it Eros? Okay? She's my Eros. All right. Raise your right hand. Tap the shoulder of the person to your right and say, you have the makings of a 5-star people manager. Raise your left hand. Tap the person, shoulder of the person to your left, and say, that's what my mother always said. and your mother is correct. Okay. Very good. We will deal this morning with session number one, and then we'll deal with session number two. We will begin session number two this morning. It will bleed into the afternoon, and we will end the day with session number three. And I'm going to tell you what those sessions are. But before I do that, I want to show you what I call my Del Monte report card. Okay, my Del Monte report card. All right. By the grace of God, me and my team were very successful in Del Monte. This is from 1984 to 2004. I left the company in 2005. I joined in October of 82. So 1983 is the base year. So if you use 1983 as the base year, this is a 21-year compounded annual growth rate from 1984 to 2004. I left in October 82. October 2005. I don't have 2005 numbers. I have 2004 numbers. So I told my accountant before I left, I said, look, I want a souvenir of my profit and loss, my 21-year compounded annual growth rate. I want to see how I did. And this is not in your workbook because these are real numbers. And I don't want Del Monte to run after me for publishing confidential numbers. So I compressed it for you. Over 21 years, unit sales was 8.4%, which is 3 times population growth, which means we really developed the business. Okay, net sales, which is peso value sales, we grew 15.7% per annum, compounded every year for 21 years. That is more than 50% higher than inflation, which means we really added value. Did we make money? Operating income is income before tax. We also grew at 15.6%. Make a long story short, if you take the net sales number and the operating income number, we doubled our business every 5 years for 21 years. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is my team. Okay, now, why am I showing you this? Number one, I want you to realize what I'm going to share with you is not theory. I'm going to share with you very practical things which are associated with very good numbers, dollars and cents, or pesos and centavos numbers, okay? What I'm trying to tell you is the principles I will share with you actually work, whether your goal is to sell more ketchup or to raise more leaders or increase the number of small groups in your church or whatever it is your goal is, okay? These principles work. Okay, let's begin. I want you to go to your manual. You have workshop goals, don't you? Okay, workshop goals. To provide a strategic framework to address organizational and leadership issues. To equip you with practical tools to deal with day-to-day people problems. And to learn to show you how excellent organizational leaders behave and how you can develop these behaviors. Now, why become one? Why should you be a 5-star people manager? There is research that shows only 30% of people want to be leaders. Did you hear that? The vast majority of people do not want to be leaders. Why? Because of the burden of leadership. So, apparently, you guys want to have that burden. Well, that's your fault, okay? But I want you to know, most people don't want to be leaders. They just want to be followers. So the question is, why do you want to do that? Can I have the slide? Effective leaders achieve results through and with people. The thing about through people is an old template. The new template is not only through people, but with people. William Wallace, played by Mel Gibson in the movie Braveheart, when he said attack, he was in front of his troops. He did not say, lusob mga kapatid, I'm behind you. In fact, way behind you where it is safe. So that's a good template. You achieve results not only through people, but with people. You should be in the trenches with people. Bill Gates did not stop writing code for Microsoft, even though he was already CEO. Steve Jobs, the late Steve Jobs, was pestering the engineers. He was tinkering with the gadgets and way after he became CEO. Sergey Brin and what's his name again? Si Google, the American CEO of Google, co-founder of Google, Sergey Brin and, Larry Page. Very good. Thank you, Edward. They write code. They are with their people, okay? Your effectiveness depends on how well you lead and manage people. The ultimate differentiator of a business is the quality of its people. It is not its results. Did you hear that? It is not the number of your congregation. It is not the number of small groups in your church, even though those are parameters we use to measure the effectiveness of our leadership. It is the quality of your people, because it is those people who will achieve the results. And the quality of your people is the direct reflection of your leadership. So once again, when people complain about their people, I tell them, please go to the conference room and face the mirror. Behold the likely source of the problem, and behold the likely source of the solution. Okay? There are five burning issues in organizational leadership. Number one is structural and process clarity. Okay? Some organizations are overly structured, and there are a lot of processes, 17 signatures to purchase a pencil. And hindi na makagalaw ang organization. Sobra-sobrang structure and process. Some organizations are wild. There is no structure. There is no process. There is chaos. So, issue yan. Kailangan well-calibrated ang structure and process. Leadership, essentially in our culture, is almost always through authority, rather than through influence, which is the more effective mode of leadership, okay? So, issue yan. In terms of leadership style, leadership style in our country, in our culture, I suppose in the whole world, has too much of me in it. It is too self-centered, okay? This is how I was raised. This is how I grew up. This is where I went to school. This is the discipline I learned in school. Therefore, you adjust to me. Because I'm the boss, I'm the leader, you adjust to me. There's too much me in leadership style. And there's too much rigidity in leadership style. And this is a fun concept to learn, and you're going to learn it this afternoon, okay? There is a lot of talk about mentoring, coaching, and empowerment. As a result, there's a lot of confusion as to what on earth is mentoring, coaching, and empowerment. Sometimes there's a lot of empowerment where it is unwarranted, and people are terrified. Nako, in-empower ako, ano gagawin ko ngayon? Okay? Sometimes people are ready to be empowered, but the leader refuses to empower the people. So that is an issue. And finally, attitudes, values, and culture. Too many leaders, too many people managers undervalue the impact of culture. In my opinion, culture is a potent tool in managing people. In fact, I call it the invisible supervisor. If you cultivate the right culture, you could get your life back. You know, you might achieve the myth called work-life balance, which does not exist as far as I'm concerned. I've been trying to balance my work and my life for the last 50 years. I have not been able to do that, okay? But, you know, culture, which is driven by attitudes and values, is so potent in managing people. And in my experience, I wonder why many people managers, many leaders undervalue the power of culture. All right, turn the page. How to become a five-star people manager. On the basis of those burning issues, I developed the five modules of the workshop. And we will deal with three today. Make sure five structures and processes are in place. Cultivate influence, not authority. Develop a menu of leadership styles. And then on April 30, mentor and coach, then empower your people. And then nurture the attitudes and values that create a winsome culture. Okay, let's proceed with the first session. Make sure five structures and processes are in place. Let me just catch up with my... Okay, five structures and processes are in place. First, principles, okay? Structures and processes govern thinking, which drives behavior and results. Okay, this is fundamental thinking principle. If you want to change results, you must change behavior. If you want to change behavior, you must change structures and processes. Many managers are blind to the effect of structures and processes on the thinking of people and on the results of people. Example, a manual accounting department versus a computerized accounting department. I mean, because of the structural difference, one has no computer system, the other one is computerized. Because of that structural difference, the capability of the computerized accounting system is a quantum, is an order of magnitude better than the capability of the manual system. So that's kind of obvious, and it's easy to detect. But there are other nuances about structures and processes that are not easy to detect. Number two, structures and processes provide order, promote discipline, and combat subjectivity. The absence of key structures and processes will prevent, inhibits effective organizational leadership. I tell participants in my commercial runs, and I'll tell you the same thing, okay? You probably don't need this as much, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway, okay? There is a danger attending this seminar, and I want you to give you fair warning. There is a danger. You are in mortal danger. When you attend this seminar, if you take it seriously, you are in danger of becoming a nicer boss. Did you hear that? There's a danger. You might become a nicer boss. I didn't say nice. I know you're nice already. You might become a nicer boss. And the problem with nice is nice bosses get abused. Okay? So if I'm mabait, my people will take me for granted. Or so the lie goes, okay? Now, the reason why I start with structures and processes is this. It is true, leadership is the so-called soft science, okay? It is the so-called soft science. Leadership or people management is a soft science. There is no hard and fast rule, okay? And people managers have struggled with this concept. Now, if I become nice, I'm gonna be abused. People will take me for granted, and you're right, actually. Okay, of course the Holy Spirit is always there to guard you, but sometimes you kind of feel, Holy Spirit, did you take a vacation? Why isn't it working? Let me tell you, structures and processes become the frame. If you have the structures and processes, they will frame your soft management, people management skill. It becomes a frame. It strengthens the otherwise abuse-prone leadership skill. What do I mean? In Del Monte, I'm a nice walk-around guy. I smile and I talk to people. I chat with the janitors, the vice presidents. I chat with anybody. I have lunch in the cafeteria just like anyone. I had a driver, but I sat in front because I wanted to chat with my driver. And I didn't want to be bossy. I was a nice guy. And people looked at me and they said, si Alex, magaang ito, madaling bulahin to. And so, fine, some of them did make bola me, or they did take me for granted. But when performance appraisal time came, people found out very quickly. It does not matter how many times Alex greeted you during the year or how many times you had a pleasant coffee break with Alex. If you don't do your job, you're going to be rated accordingly. In fact, if you do a lousy job, you could lose your job. And very quickly, people therefore changed their view of me. They would say, mag-ingat ka dyan. Pangiti-ngiti yan. Pero papaluin ka dyan. If you don't do your job, tatamaan ka. So, because structures and processes were well developed. And so I could afford to be the nicest guy that ever walked the surface of the earth. Because once those structures and processes, in time, when they kicked in, people had a more balanced view of me. They appreciated the fact that I was nice and pleasant, but at the same time, they knew I meant business. Why? Because structures and processes were there to frame the otherwise abuse-prone soft skill called being nice as a leader. Okay? So, let's take the first structure. Purpose. Is the mission clear? Okay? Now, I don't want you to tune out and say, Alex, isn't that a Steve Merle province? Isn't that for Steve Merle and all of those guys up there? Yeah, for the whole church. But what I want you to do is put in your head, I am the CEO of my team. Did you hear that? I am the general manager of my team. Okay? And as a result, you ought to develop a mission statement for your team. Okay? I tell people who are not CEOs, they're not even department managers, I said, don't tune out. Don't just be polite and listen to me and in your head tell yourself, this does not apply to me, because it applies to you. Okay? You must be clear on your mission. Why is your ministry? Why was it invented? What's it for? What's the purpose of real life, of HR, of finance? What is the mission of this department, of this function, in relation to the overall mission of the church? How does it contribute to honoring God and making disciples? Wow, it contributes a lot to honoring God and making disciples. Therefore, what is our toka? What is our papel? What is our value added to that vision? If I'm an accountant, how on earth do I glorify God and make disciples? Well, maybe by closing the books on time and by being very accurate in your posting of numbers in the accounts. Whatever it is, you must develop a mission for your group or business. Okay? A business with no clear mission will not have focused goals, is not likely to survive long term, will at best be mediocre, will not be fun to work in, and certainly will not be fun to manage. A mission statement answers these questions. What is my business? What is its enduring, noble purpose? In our church, we're lucky. Steve has defined our mission very, very clearly and very simply. It is to honor God and make disciples. Okay, now, how do I translate that if I'm in accounting? What is the accounting's mission? If I'm in MPD, what is the mission of MPD that will contribute to honoring God and making disciples? Okay, we are lucky. We are blessed in the sense of there's a lot of nobility. Hindi lang nobility, a lot of spirituality in our mission statement. Okay, and so it's kind of easy because when young people look for jobs in the world, they ask the prospective employer, does your company, does your business, are you going to change the world? Or at least are you going to improve the world? Or is it all about making money? Are you with me? And I tell people, unless the young people see some nobility in your mission, they're not going to join you because they want some nobility. Who are my customers? Where are my markets? What values will govern the conduct of my business? Now, why should values be in a mission statement? To protect the business's credibility by putting ethical boundaries to its conduct, to guide in the selection of prospective employees, hindi pa ako tapos, balik mo, to enhance teamwork and provide a powerful incentive to stay within an organization, to mold a unique culture and character of an organization, and to integrate business and personal convictions, promoting work-life balance. So in a church setting, these issues are kind of easy to deal with, okay? And that's good. But what I want to share with you is you must ask yourself the question, what's the mission of my team, okay? What's the mission of my team? What should we do? What am I here for, okay? In Del Monte, I had a... I'm going ahead of myself, okay? Okay. You must be clear on mission, okay? Clear on mission. if you are not clear on mission, your team, your organization is going to be structurally deficient. Okay? However, if you are clear on your mission, particularly the specific mission of your department or team, you will change the way you look at your job. And as an implication, the people who work with you will change the way they look at their jobs. Okay? You will be missional in more ways than one. Because, okay, we are all missional. We're after evangelizing people. But within our specific functions, we can also be missional. And when your mission is clear, you become more passionate. Okay? Now, that's structure number one. Structure number two is direction. Is there a compelling vision? Okay? Is there a compelling vision? Now, once again, you might say, Alex, isn't that a Steve Merle, Rice Brooks kind of issue? Aren't they in charge of vision? Of course they are. And they have a vision. And it is very clear. We see a world where we are making disciples who will make disciples in every campus, in every nation, in our generation. Wow, that vision is so compelling. It captures my imagination. Okay, yeah, right. Now, when I bring it down to accounting, when I bring it down to HR, how do I contribute to that vision? Because there are functions. If these functions don't run smoothly, the vision, the accomplishment of that vision will be more difficult. Okay, in Del Monte, I had an HR person who told me, I have a vision. Sabi niya, it's 24 hours. Sabi ko, Jimmy, please explain. Well, Alex, sabi niya, ever since you told us to, because the overall vision of Del Monte that I cast at that time was delight the customer. Okay, we want to delight the customer. When the housewife opens up a can of tomato sauce, that's a magic moment. We want her delighted because of the quality of the product. As opposed to dilat ang mata ng customer sa galit sa sama ng produkto. Okay? We want to delight the customer. Okay? So, in everything that we did, it contributed to that magic moment to delight the customer. So, the HR people said, yeah, but you know, we're not involved in production. We're not involved in sales. We're not involved in packaging. So, I mean, how do we delight our customers? So, Jimmy told me, well, first of all, we defined our customers. They are our fellow employees. They are not the customers. It's not Makati Supermarket or Robinson Supermarket. Our customers are our fellow employees. And sabi niya, we did a survey. And we found out, to our chagrin, that people don't like HR very much. They complain that we are not responsive to their needs. And specifically, they complain that when they ask HR for anything, it takes us forever to respond. And so sabi niya, I am sick and tired of this. I have a vision. It's 24 hours. You send us a request, within 24 hours, we're going to get back to you. Whether we have an answer or we don't have an answer, we will get back to you in 24 hours. Very simple. So, if I can do this, Sabinya, if the HR can function much better, more responsive to its customers within the organization, whatever that joy will contribute to the effectiveness of that worker, we believe we are contributing to the overall mission of delighting the customer. See, that's a very good example. So, you know what? It revolutionized HR. They became a go-to department. Some of the brightest people in marketing and sales wanted to join HR because it became a fun department, a cool department, and a very visible department. Because one man had a vision. Okay, so is there a compelling vision? The power of a vision, it captures your people's imaginations and energizes their efforts, keeps your team focused on a common cause, minimizes intramurals, and stimulates cooperation, raises morale. When the vision is clear, okay, let's take HR again in Del Monte, 24 hours. First of all, a vision is compelling if it's only one word or two words, maximum three. Okay, delight the customer. Okay, that was my vision. And Jimmy's vision in HR, 24 hours. Okay, sinakay niya dun sa series na 24 hours. Usong-uso kasi yun. Okay, 24 hours. So, When that vision is clear, when there is any discussion in HR, on issues in HR, the discussion is ended when the proponent, the argument of the proponent, brings his or her side closer to the vision of 24 hours. Okay? So, who wins the argument is the person whose argument will bring us closer to 24 hours. That's our vision. Okay? So, pag klaro yung vision mo, yung lahat ng away na nababawasan. Kasi, oh, pare, wala sa vision niya. You see? Okay, oh, pare, that's not honoring to God. Oh, tapos ang usapan. Oh, pare, that will not contribute to making disciples. Oh, tapos ang usapan. See, when the vision is clear, that's what I mean. Minimizes intramurals and enhances cooperation. And I tell you, as a people manager, as a leader, you have a potent tool in casting a vision in your team, in your group. Okay? Our supply chain people said, Alex, our problem in supply chain is the supermarkets hate Del Monte because when they order, they give us a sales order, there are 140 stock keeping units or items. We are only able to service 55% of them kasi puro tayo stock outs. And our production planning is terrible, our forecasting is terrible, we are terrible. So sabi ko, what do you want to do about it? Sabi niya, 100% trade order fill from 55. His people looked at him and said, are you crazy? And, well, you know, he failed. They only achieved 98.7%. But it became an industry benchmark. Okay, give me a slide. Where does it come from? Unresolved strategic issues, major irritations or frustrations, huge untapped opportunities combined with great internal competencies, an insight into an unarticulated customer need or the inner voice. Okay. There's a huge untapped opportunity to save people in the unsaved areas of this world, in the restricted countries. There is great internal competency in every nation. A lot of people want to join the mission. Steve Merle saw this. Rice Brooks saw this. June Escosar saw this. We have tremendous internal competencies and tremendous internal motivation to go to the missions. And there is a tremendous untapped opportunity. And so June Escosar, I was having a chat with him, sabi niya, Alex, I am so simple. Sabi niya, I'm so simple-minded. If you don't stop me, we'll win the world. And you know, for the first time, kinikilabutan ako just telling you this, you know, we have a very specific vision. Every year, three countries will get an every nation church. That's our dream. That's our vision. And June Escosar is doing this 24/7. And it's a great example of, June has gone wild on missions. I mean, he's got missions coming out of his ears when you talk to June. And I just love the guy, okay? Major irritations or frustrations. Jimmy of Del Monte HR, his major irritation or frustration, we are the most disliked department in Del Monte. And I am sick and tired of all the criticism. I am sick and tired of saying, people are cynical about HR. So, doon ang galing yung sa kanyang vision. A major frustration or irritation. Sabi niya, enough. I'm going to go 24 hours. And they did. Okay? An insight into an unarticulated customer need. Sometimes our customers don't know what they need. Okay? Steve Jobs was taking a walk in the mall and he saw a couple of young teenagers doing something on a desktop. And he hovered over them and asked them, what are you guys doing? Oh, sabi niya, I'm trying to make a file of my music. And a light bulb lit. He said, that's it. People want their music organized. And he went away and invented the iPod. Okay, because customers don't know what they need. Steve Jobs is known for not doing any research. Sabi niya, if you ask people what they want, they wouldn't tell you. You know why? They don't know what they want. Okay, there's a lot of unarticulated customer need, and the insightful business manager, people manager, will discern it and create a vision to service it.